Welcome to Simcha Even Though and Parshas Nitzavim, the Haftorah. Before I begin, it's time for another sincere thank you to Mitch Green and Jake Wyman, who keep SheerEnjoyment.com professional in every way. The first three words of this week's Haftorah from the Navi Yeshaya are Sos Osis B'Hashem, I will rejoice with Hashem, meaning with Teshuas Hashem, the salvation of Hashem. The Targum explains that it's the city of Yerushalayim saying Sos Osis B'Hashem. What does that mean? A city will speak? Can a city rejoice? So, as Rebbetzin Leah Open explained to me, it's referring to the Malachim of Yerushalayim, the angels who mourn the Chorban Beis HaMikdash every night at Chatzos. And the Metzudos explains it, that Klal Yisrael will be saying these words, because the Geula will be here at last. But what about before Mashiach comes? Will anything get easier before the Geula, so that I can say Sos Osis with all my heart and soul before the Geula arrives? Where would I find the answer to that? So first, the famous words of the Apta Rav came to mind. Who helps you until Hashem helps you? Hashem helps you until He helps you. It's true, He does. In Tehillim, David HaMelech says, Docho dechisani lenpo v'Hashem azarani. The enemy pushed me to fall, and Hashem helped me. The Bnei Yisachar said on this, Ezra is the help Hashem gives you before He gives you the Yeshua. My son Meir Simcha shared with me the words of the Vilna Gaon. We say in Shemana Esrei, in Al HaTzadikim, that Hashem is Mish'on u'miftach la'tzadikim. Hashem is both the Mish'on, the leaning stick of support, and the Miftach, the one who brings the false salvation. The Vilna Gaon explains that before Hashem rewards the bitachon of righteous people with a complete Yeshua, He gives them a Mish'on, a leaning stick, so to speak, to support them along the way. He brings several examples, one of which is from Megillas Esther. The Gemara says that after Haman led Mordechai around the streets of Shushan, Vayashav, Mordechai returned, meaning he returned to wearing sackcloth. But why? Wasn't it an incredible turn of events that Haman was forced to lead Mordechai through Shushan on the king's royal horse, wearing the king's royal clothes? The answer is he was still somber and concerned because the Yidden weren't actually saved yet. But, explains the Vilna Gaon, this incident was a nace before the final nace, when Haman would be hanged at last. And Hashem is going to do the same for us before the Geula L'Asad Lavo. That means we're going to see great nisim even before Mashiach comes. And even in our own personal lives, Hashem helps us in smaller ways before He sends the complete Yeshua. Here's an amazing story from Rav Yehoshua Nissan that proves exactly that. Every Shabbos morning, mid-Shachris, an unknown young boy would come into the shul for a few minutes, look around, and leave. Every Shabbos, same thing. No one paid much attention except for one young father sitting there each week with his own three boys. After a few weeks, this man decided to look into it. Who was this little boy? He finds out that this kid's mother was in the process of becoming frum, but her husband was adamantly against it and wanted no part of it, surely not going to shul with his son. Yet she sent him each week. So the man finds out where she lives, knocks on the door. Luckily for him, she answers and willingly shares what's going on. This caring young man told her, from now on, when your son comes to shul, he can sit with me and my three boys. Tell him he always has a seat by me. That's what happened for the next many weeks. Eventually, he connected the family with Yeshiva Darchei Torah, and the boys started going to Yeshiva. One day, a long time afterwards, he finds out the backstory. On that very day that he had knocked on the mother's door, mamish minutes before, the mother had cried out to Hashem, Hashem, I'm doing all this for you. If you're not helping me, I can't do it anymore. And Hashem helped her immediately. That was the Ezra, right? One day, obviously much later, her husband's father passed away, and finally he became interested in going to shul. At first just to say Kaddish for his father, but that eventually led to him going to shul on Shabbos too. And then he joined the family in other areas of Frumkeit as well. This was, of course, the ultimate Yeshua this woman was davening for. So we can clearly see that Hashem helped her until her husband came around, which was, of course, her dream come true. A person may be going through serious intense challenges, but Hashem is always helping him in some way along the way. Here's a proof. Ever hear someone complaining about something while totally taking her own mishon for granted? For example, person A might take for granted living near parents or not having to worry about money. Why would she take that for granted? Because she's more focused on her problem. Maybe she hates her job, or maybe she just found out she needs serious surgery. Person B might have everything person A is missing, but she's focused on whatever's bothering her. So neither person is aware that Hashem is actually supporting them in some way. each one would be able to see her mishon, her leaning stick, more clearly if she paid attention to how Hashem has been helping her. Here are a few other examples of how Hashem helps a person until he sends him a complete Yeshua. Anyone who survived the Holocaust had to have experienced countless miracles along the way, because according to Teva, it was impossible to survive any of it. The earlier miracles were the Ezra until they were fully free, the Yeshua. My son Shlemi said that anyone who becomes a Baal Tshuva experiences the some way along the way help from Hashem. They see it in how Hashem helps them get to each place where they can get closer to the place of doing Teshuva. And with Shaduchim, who doesn't have an interesting story of how it came to be? Rabbi Goldwasser tells a story of a guy who used to visit his grandmother in a nursing home every week. She wasn't always very agreeable due to advanced Alzheimer's, but he went anyway. He had another problem too. His shidduchim were going nowhere, and he was very lonely. Well, Hashem helped him, but in a very unconventional way. One day he walked into his grandmother's room, and immediately she started yelling at him, "Where are my teeth? I can't find my teeth. You took my teeth." He softly and gently assured her that he did not take her teeth and looked everywhere for them. But it seemed like the teeth had vanished into thin air. Suddenly the grandmother said, "Give them back," and slapped him across the face so hard he didn't know what hit him. Literally, holding back the tears that threatened to spill over, he continued looking for them. Guess where they were? Under her pillow. Did he yell at her? Chas v'shalom. He just handed them to her, made sure she was comfortable again, and left. End of story? Not quite. Little did he know, a woman in the next cubicle behind a thick curtain, who was there visiting her elderly mother, had heard the entire thing. As you can imagine, she was very impressed, and he is now her son-in-law. The Yeshua was the shidduch, of course. The Ezra, the help, was what? The slap. That slap and the superhuman way he handled it was the help before the help. Sometimes help comes in an ugly box, that's all. So to summarize, as the Haftorah promises us, one day we will all say Sos Asis Bashem together with overflowing simcha. Even the malachim will be rejoicing. And until then, as our tzaddikim remind us, Hashem sends us a mishon, something to lean on during the journey, and help before the help. But like this slap that brought about a shidduch, let's keep in mind that what looks like rock bottom to us might actually be the hidden opening to a gold mine. And lest you think it's impossible to see the slaps as anything useful, my dear son Shlemi is a walking example of that. Or rather, a limping example. The day after I happened to have shared the Bubby Shidduch story with him, he slipped on the slippery Jerusalem stone near his yeshiva. This fall fractured his ankle and tore a ligament as well. He should have her for Shalema, Shlomo ben Chana Devorah. Yet, the very first thing he said to me about it was, "Well, it's Elul, so I guess I'll be sitting in yeshiva even more now." That's a pretty good way to take a curveball in life. But if he would have cried, that would have been okay too. As long as you're crying to the one who gave you the problem, because he's also the one who can solve the problem. My dear friend Lifshia Epstein just happened to send me this quote the day I was preparing this share. The purpose of prayer is not to get us out of trouble. The purpose of trouble is to get us into prayer. I'm going to say it again, it's so good. The purpose of prayer is not to get us out of trouble. The purpose of trouble is to get us into prayer. And guess who said it? Rav Yitzchak Kuttner Zatzal. And since I like to keep things fresh and different each week, this time I'd like to conclude with a poem I wrote a few years ago. It's called One Address. One Address. There's a time and place when it's no disgrace to express your deep emotion. There's a place and time when it is just fine to create some commotion. When your life's insane and you feel the pain, you're reaching desperation. There's a time to complain and repeat your refrain to fix a situation. It's okay to turn to the ones who earn high wages for their hours, but 24/7 there's one in heaven with even greater powers. It's not the powers that be, it's the power that is. So please remember this. It's not he or them. It's just Hashem. Ein od malvado is bliss. May the geula come right now. So soon you'll be like, wait, can I just hear the rest of her share first? Just joking. Have a great week ahead and a beautiful Shabbos.